What's doing, everybody? Welcome to episode 738 of First Class Fatherhood. I'm happy and honored, as always, to be here with you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I've got a tremendous guest to bring you guys today. Actor Tom Payne joins me on the podcast today. Tom Payne is very well known for portraying Jesus in The Walking Dead. He portrayed Jesus in 45 episodes of the show, did some stuff in the aftermath there with The Walking Dead. He's also very well known as playing the main character in The Prodigal Son. He played Malcolm Bright. Now, he also did a show, a program that I really enjoyed on HBO back in the day called Luck that starred Dustin Hoffman. And, you know, being a racetrack degenerate as part of my misspent youth, I really liked this show that took you behind the scenes of the horse racing industry, but it was cut short because of the animal protesters came in and they kind of shut that show down. But he was very good in that. Luck was a really good show starring Dustin Hoffman. Tom Payne's got a brand new movie hitting the theaters this week. It's a horror film titled Imaginary. It's a supernatural film featuring a sinister teddy bear. It is produced by Jason Blum, who just had that smash hit horror film, Five Nights at Freddy. He's also done Megan. He's done Halloween, the one from back in 2018, and so many other ones. Tom Payne is also starring in what's going to be one of the biggest movies of the summer, Horizon, an American Saga. It hits the theaters on June 28th. Kevin Costner and a loaded lineup is going to be in that one. So look for Imaginary to hit a theater near you on March 8th, and look for Tom Payne to join me right here in just a couple of minutes, so please stick around for the interview. And if you guys enjoy the interviews with actors that I've done here on First Class Fatherhood, go through the archives, check out the interviews I've done with the likes of Matthew McConaughey, Andrew McCarthy, Dean Cain, Josh Peck, Kirk Cameron, and many other actors have joined me here on the podcast, had a lot of fun with so many of these dads that turned actor or actors that became dads. Always a fun conversation, so go through the archives there and check them all out. And welcome to those of you who are watching First Class Fatherhood on Rumble. I recently moved First Class Fatherhood, the video portion, over to the Rumble platform. So welcome. Don't forget to follow the channel right here. I'm going to bring you some of the past interviews I've done and all the new ones I'm going to release on Rumble first. So get over to Rumble. If you're not following it, get over to Rumble and follow it. And wherever you are listening, please help me out with a rating, review, whatever you can do goes a long way. And let's do this right now, all right? So as always, please help me spread the word about this podcast. Every father in your neighborhood or in your contact list, let them know about the show that's here celebrating. Celebrating fatherhood and family life. You guys know it. Every day is Father's Day right here on the podcast. Here comes my interview straight up with Tom Payne on First Class Fatherhood.
First Class Fatherhood. That is where Alec Lace comes in with his popular podcast.
And one of the most interesting was on a podcast.
Alec Lace interviews high-profile fathers from actors to NFL players with a vision to change the narrative of fatherhood and family life.
Joining me now, First Class Father Tom Payne. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood.
Thank you, Alec. Happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Let's start like this. How many kids do you have? How old?
I have a son who just turned 2, January 5th, and we have another one on the way.
Wow, congratulations. You know what you haven't yet? Or are you going to wait till the end to find out? Are you going to do a gender reveal, or are you going to wait for the surprise?
No, we do, but we're not making it public yet. But we couldn't do that. We find it so surprising when people wait for the surprise. I mean, it's enough of a surprise having the baby. I don't want to have to deal with, oh God, I have to buy that now, or I have to do this now. Like, I want to be prepared.
Yeah, I hear we did it. We have 4 kids, and we did it for our 3rd one is the only one we waited till the end to find out. So we did it, you know, the other ones we found out, but we did it for the 3rd one we found. So we had 3 boys in a row, and then got the girl on the 4th try. So if not, we'd still be rolling along. But if you could, Tom, please take a second here to hit my listeners with a little bit about your background, what you do.
So my name's Tom Payne. I'm an actor from England. I moved out to America in 2010, did a TV show on HBO called Luck about horse racing. And then I stayed here because I'm in Los Angeles. Believe it or not, it's cheaper than London and the weather's better. So I stayed here for that. Met my wife 2013. And we had our son 21, I guess. What is it now? 20? No, it's 2024, 2022.
Yeah.
January 5th, 2022. And we, we all to plan, really. We timed it out and when we wanted to do it. And then with the next one that we have, we wanted the age gap that we're going to have. And because my wife and her sister are a couple of years apart. She has an older sister, but the one that she grew up with is, 2 years between them. I have a bigger gap. I have 7 years above and 7 years below. And as much as I get on with my siblings, I think that's a really big gap. It's kind of a generational gap. And so you have to work on your conversation a little bit better because you're coming from different different places a lot of the time, just by virtue of being 7 years is quite a long gap. So we just wanted to make sure that, and we got lucky that we could, that that they were closer. So yeah, now we're on that journey.
Well, I hear you're talking. I'm the youngest of seven in a blended marriage. My oldest brother is about 22 years older than me. So there's a huge gap. And so, we tried to keep our kids as close. Our first two were 15 months apart, Irish twins. Mm-hmm. Then we had some miscarriages in between. And then finally, we were able to bang out two more. But so far, 2 years into the game here, so far, how has becoming a father kind of changed your perspective on life?
changed my perspective. Well, the biggest thing that I realized is that, I have to go away to work sometimes, get on a plane and go to Europe or somewhere else in America. And I had this big realization the last time I did it that I'm not afraid of dying anymore, which is weird because I live on through my son. So that's one part of it. But then I thought I was going to the airport and I was saying goodbye to my son. And I'm like, I don't want to die now because I don't want him to not have a father. And it was really, it's nothing to do with me. Like, and it's one of those things that like, oh, I would die for my child. You really don't get that until you're a parent. Like you cannot fathom how that is, how that can be. And you just intrinsically, it's so weird. Like deep inside you, you know that now, and you know that everything is about that kid, and it's crazy, and it's really freeing, really fantastically freeing, because you are not the most important person. Everything you do is for them and informed by them and your family, your wife and your child, like, and it's just great to have that purpose, because especially in my job, like, what do I want to do? Oh, I want to make a big movie. I want to win an Oscar. I want to do all that kind of stuff. And it's all meaningless crap. Like none of it really means anything. It's all just means to an end to get more work. And but now it's like, I got to make money and look after my family. And I actually really enjoy that. It takes the pressure off in a weird way of like my own ego and everything. I just, I didn't really care what people thought before, but now I really don't care. it's really cool.
Yeah, well said, Tom. And when I speak to the military dad, I bring a lot of military dads on the podcast, and they have that philosophy of service before self. That's their mentality. And I never, being not a military guy, like I never really ever understood that until I became a dad. And then I kind of got a glimpse of what they were talking about, all that, So I get what you're saying there. And finally, being a part, having something that's more important than you, it's definitely something that a lot of changes for a lot of dads. I wanted to ask you because, a big part of my misspent youth was at the racetrack. I grew up going gambling on horses my whole life. And your breakthrough there in the U.S. with that, I wish that luck would have continued because I really enjoyed it. But I know that they had the problem with the horses, just like horse racing faces. Were you? I've had Gary Stevens and a number of other jockeys on the podcast here. But were you into horse racing? Was that something you were into, or how did you come into that role? And what was your experience doing that?
So we, in England, we have the Grand National, right? Which is like this big horse race that happens every year with like 30 horses. Half of them don't make it to the end. Like they don't die, like they, because it's a jumping race. So like people fall off, like people, and horses are running in all directions. So I'm used to that kind of horse racing in England. But when I came over here on that show, it's all flat racing and pretty fast races. So that was a new thing for me. At that point in my life, I had never ridden. Now I've done a lot of horse riding, but I had never ridden. And I learned to ride a horse as a jockey. So I never learned English style or American style, like just sitting on the horse. I learned perching on the top of the horse, on the balls of my feet. I mean, it's completely mad. I would not recommend this to anyone, because you're not really sitting on the horse at all.
Right.
And so my training sessions consisted of me like perching on top of the horse, screaming, as because my thighs felt like they were about to explode. I mean, jockeys are really tough guys and girls. I wouldn't get into a fight with a jockey at all. Like they're very tough people. But that's how I learned. And in fact, I took my son and my wife to Santa Anita Racetrack a day after Christmas this year for opening day. And it was the first time I've been back in like 12 years. And my son absolutely loved it. I mean, he's only two, But we, when he goes to bed at night, we read him books, and we've recently started to tell him stories and talk about the day we've had and stuff. And I can talk to him about going to the racetrack and the horses that he wants to ride, like which horse? Oh, the red horse. Okay, number one. Okay, and he won it. And I've got to take him back because he just absolutely loved it. And it's a great day out. I mean, what a great setting for a TV show. And it is a bummer that we got shut down, because there's so many stories you can tell. There's all different types of society at the racetrack. And it's everyone in one place. You know, we went along, and because in Europe, it does tend to be, you know, everyone dresses up in Europe, basically, to go mostly to go to the races. And my wife is expecting everyone to be all fancy. She's like, oh, but it's everywhere. Like, there's people who, you know, at Clocker's Corner or whatever, and doing, you know, all the gambling. And then there are the fancy people who want to dress up. And then, I mean, it's just, it's a fun atmosphere. And my son just loves, you know, the horses are coming to the end. Everyone's cheering and clapping. And it's so fun to tell him a story where he's riding the winning horse, because he's just like, yeah, yeah. And like clapping. It's just awesome. Yeah. So which racetrack were you at?
Meadowlands, mostly in Jersey here. A lot of harness racing, but also Aqueduct and the New York runs, Belmont, and then Yonkers. But a lot of OTB, which was off track betting they had in New York. Grew up going to that mainly. But you know, it's a whole world onto itself. The gambling part of it is one world, but the actual track people is another one. But just like you said, the job. A lot of people have like these thrills they want to experience, like skydiving or do this. I would love to experience this. I'll never get to do it, but I would love that feeling of being a jockey in the game. Right when the doors crash open and they come flying out, like that's got to be so intense for them guys to be in there. They're in the gate, you know, and then that bell rings, and boom, they come out. What an adrenaline rush!
I did some stuff in the gate, and they had to teach the horses, because the horses, first of all, we were using like X-ray sources, so they know where they are when they're on the track, and they're immediately even more perky. And in the gate, they really know where they are, and they're in the gate, and they're like ready. We have Michael Mann directing that. And obviously we're making a TV show, and like, you know, we're about the acting and stuff. And he wants me to be like, you're really nervous. And it's not what you should be at all. And when you're in the gate, you should be the most calm you can possibly be. So I'm an actor on an actual horse, and I have to act like I'm terrified, but in my body, not let the horse know that I'm acting. I mean, it was just weird. And also the gate is incredibly dangerous, because if the horse rears up, you're in the ceiling of the gate, and yeah, terrifying. But it's really cool, because you see them line up, and as soon as the last one goes in, they go, and it is very exciting. And we did we had some fake horse stuff, and we were like racing along the track on a pickup truck with the horses as close as we could be. And I mean, it's like piloting a rocket, you know, and I could never do it either. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, it's an exciting. You're right, though. A day at the races is a nice day, a nice way to spend with your family too. So
Let me.
I kind of derailed a little bit there. Let me bring it back over to fatherhood.
Okay.
What would you consider, Tom, to be the top values that you want to instill in all your children growing up?
It's got to be kindness, and you know, that starts with like sharing toys and those little things at the beginning. We have a great nanny who. Is very good at taking our son to the park and taking toys with him that he can then share with other kids. I think kindness and forgiveness, understanding that not everyone has the same background or the same upbringing. We realize a lot with our son that this is his childhood. Like, this is his family home that we live in right now. And I took him out yesterday, and then I took him to the farmer's market, and we're out in the world. There's lots of people. And then when I brought him home, I was just looking at him playing in his house, and you know, you create their whole world. And so I think as much as you can, security at home, a really nice, warm, loving atmosphere at home. And a dialogue with your kids. My parents and I were very British, like, so we don't necessarily talk a lot. Well, we don't talk a lot about emotions and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a very emotional person. And I think a lot of it came out of me when I was younger, because I didn't have that release with my parents. And so I think it's really important to have that dialogue with your children and have them able to come to you. I always felt that my parents would stick up for me. They always had my back, which is really cool. But at the same time, my house wasn't the house where all my friends came over. It wasn't like a kind of a fun house. And I think what I've always wanted is that. So I want, and our son like loves having people at the house. And my wife, I'm sitting in my wife's music studio now, and she has musicians come over a lot. And he loves it. We had a disco in the front room for his birthday, and he had all of his little friends over, and it was amazing. His aunt like was on the DJ decks, and he's dancing his ass off, and it just the most fun. He loves it when there's a full house, and I always wanted that for myself as much as anything else, but for our kids, definitely, like, have them to be social and fun loving and just enjoy life. And really, these years are really important of making them feel safe and secure. It's just great. Yeah, 2 years old is a great time. Like, I know people are saying about the terrible twos, but we haven't had that yet. Touch wood, I don't know what's going to happen, but like, he started hugging us a lot more now, and he's really associating with people in different ways, and it's just wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I definitely miss that age so much. Well, our youngest is 9, our oldest is 7, be 18 next month. So one thing I know is this movie you got now, Imaginary, is not one your son will be watching, not for a while anyway. But my older boys, my two teenage boys, my high schoolers, I think they're going to love it because they love that Five Nights at Freddy's. I believe the same guy, right, involved making this one. But tell me about Imaginary and what we could expect when we see it.
So, the same company that just put out Five Nights at Freddy's. And there's a similar thing, because at the center of it is this teddy bear. I have two daughters in the movie from a previous marriage. And I marry the lead character, played by DeWanda Wise, Jessica, and we move into her childhood home. And my youngest daughter finds a teddy bear in the childhood home. And then the story happens, the film happens. It's one of those movies, like when my agent sent me the script, he said, like, you know it's going to be good when you can see the marketing. Like, you read the script and you're like, oh, I can totally see. And when we were on set, I said, like, oh, I think the poster is just going to be the teddy bear at Imaginary. And that's what ended up happening, because that's, you know, it's creepy. and it's a fun thing, because I'm excited to see more promotional stuff they're going to do, because you can put that teddy bear in funny, spooky places and stuff. And the one thing about the movie also is, so we did have a teddy bear. So there's a lot of practical effects in the movie, which is great. Like, I feel like there's so much CGI around now, and what's real and what's not real. And there is a little bit in the movie, but most of it is very tactile, real stuff that we as actors could touch and be scared by, and which is really helpful for us and for the audience, I think. Because when you're reacting against nothing, you're always fabricating it, and also you don't really know what's there, and they can change it in post. And so it's never quite as grounded, but when it's something's really there, it really helps everyone. And there's some good scares in the movie.
It looks good. Like I said, and I'm curious, Tom, now that you're a dad playing, is it any different for you approaching roles? I don't know if you've ever played a father before in any of your roles, but it's like, does it approaching playing the father, does that kind of like your own personal perspective on being a dad influence the role that you play as a father?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to happen more and more. So I, this is the first time I've ever played a dad on screen. Okay. And it's a dad to a teenage daughter. and like a how old is she in the movie, like seven year old, and so that was weird for me. I mean, I'm 41, so I could absolutely have a teenage daughter, but there's a big difference between my 2 year old and, you know, a teenager, absolutely. But the girls were so wonderful in the movie, and they made it really easy. They're just fantastic. Every actor in the movie is great, but the girls and I, they also cast incredibly well. Like, we looked like we could be a family, which is which obviously helps everyone believe it in the movie. And I think as I get older, I'm hopefully going to do another movie at the end of the year where I have a baby in the movie, and I know that I will be I will be able to play that very differently than I would a few years ago, definitely. You just, as I said at the beginning, like, you just don't know anything. You don't know how you're going to feel, like, and you, my Oh, I'm not going to say that, actually. We know other people who are about to have babies, and it's fun watching people who are having their first child because they just have no idea what's coming at all. My brother said to me when we had our son, and he was, I guess, in the first 6 months, my brother and I have been working together on some things, and I was like, oh God, I'm sorry. Like, we've got, you know, the baby and everything. And my brother was like, Tom, I've got lots of friends who've got babies. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait till you have a baby. Like, oh my God, I cannot wait until you have a baby. Because it's not even that you're being kept up. I mean, sleep deprivation is, you have, that's the worst possible thing. That is real torture, sleep deprivation, because it affects everything. But it's not even that. It's like when they are sleeping, you're still worried about them and you're still thinking about the next thing you've got to do. And like, you know, it's, you're just always on, even when you're asleep, you're sleeping, but you're kind of not sleeping because you might have to wake up. So that whole thing is a trip. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in it now too. And when the next one comes along, that'll multiply too, which is awesome though. It's awesome. Cause then you get, now you have the opportunity now to do that all over again. You take what you've learned, you applied it here. So it gets better. It gets better with every child. So
there was one thing I want to say, and given that this is a fatherhood podcast, cause I've spoken to a few dads about this, and they said like, oh my God, no one ever talks about that. When we, brought him home. So my wife had labored like all through the night, and we had a doula, which is amazing, who came over and sat with her all night so I could get some sleep and be like ready for the day, which was a day. And he was born at 5 p.m. the next day. The first couple of nights I had to sleep in a different room because I had these really unexpected feelings of rejection, which I know is based around, because I've thought about it a lot, but I kind of know this, like, you go through a trauma, right? And you have these feelings of like, well, this created my trauma. You've been up all night, you've gone through everything, and you just have this like, well, we need to get rid of this thing that's caused the trauma. And I was like, I don't want to feel like that about my son. So I just didn't, my wife, he slept in the room with my wife, and I came away for a couple of days to sleep in a different room. I mean, I saw them for the 2 days, but I was like, I feel really odd feeling like this. And I don't want to feel like this. But I absolutely had those feelings at the beginning, and because it's an unexplainable thing, having your first child, and you don't know until you have it, and you have all these ideas about what it's going to be like, and then you get gut punched when it happens, and it changes absolutely everything about your life. And I think you have to know that, you have to kind of know that a bit going in, that you're not going to be able to live your life in the way that you did before. But it's a new life and a new experience. And it's not that I really gave up anything that I was doing, but just that you go through a traumatic experience. It's like a car crash. I mean, there's so much about it that is like a car crash. And then you have this thing that you have to take home and keep alive. So I just wanted to mention that because it's a scary feeling, I think, for a lot of dads. And it maybe doesn't get enough focus. And that can, I think, cause some people to step back a bit. I think you need to confront it and not, I know lots of dads like, oh, I don't get too involved at the beginning. Like, oh, they only get interesting when they're around 4 or 5 or something. And when I hear that, I'm like, no, you've got to get involved from the beginning and help your wife out and look after your kid and get those bonding moments. But at the beginning it's hard.
And I know, just to your point too, I speak to a lot of NFL dads, and a lot of them, the ones that have won the Super Bowl before, you know, they'll liken it to that, because some dads, they think it's going to be the moment the baby's born, they think they're going to have this huge experience, everything changes, their feelings, and for some it doesn't happen right away, and they worry if that's something wrong with them. But like some of these NFL guys will say, like, as soon as they win the Super Bowl, the game is over, the reporter puts the mic in front of them and says, hey, you're a Super Bowl champion, how does it feel? And they're like, well, I don't know. It hasn't really even hit me yet. Like, they can't, they have some people right away, they feel on top of the world. Others, it takes time for them to comprehend what just happened. So same thing with fatherhood. Like, it happens in different stages for everybody. Sometimes it don't hit that day. Sometimes it could take a year. So for everybody, they come into it, you know, in their own time. So I love what you have to say there. And it kind of steals a little bit of the thunder away from my last question here, Tom, which is, you know, I love to ask all the dads that I do get on the podcast is, what advice do you have for that new dad or for that about to be father who's out there listening?
I would say you don't need all of the stuff. Don't worry. Like, most of the stuff, especially if you live in a city, you can go and get most of the stuff. Like, anything that you've forgotten, there'll be a 24-hour drugstore or whatever, like you can get stuff. You need the car seat in the car. that's the important thing. Otherwise, you can't go home from the hospital. just try. I mean, it's hard, but if you can, like, try and cocoon at the beginning and just have your little little world with your new little family and your new horizons. It's an amazing. It opens a window into a whole new part of life, and it only gets better. Like, it just gets better and better. And like, and having another child, I know it's going to be really hard, but I know that that's going to make it better and better as well. I'm really excited about being a little family, you know, like, and it's weird, like having another child, and I know it's hard for a lot of people, and it's not, and it doesn't happen for some people, but like, I always wanted our son to have a sibling as well. Because I think it, you know, it's a hard world, and it's good to have other family members in your immediate family to share that with. And honestly, I would say to most dads, it's going to be hard, and it's a big shock to the system, but it's the best thing ever, and it can only improve your life.
Yeah, well said. I love them. What is the due date? When are you expecting here?
End of April is the 40 weeks.
End of April. All right. Well, listen, best of luck to you with the new addition coming to the family. You're a first-class father all the way, and thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time today on First Class Fatherhood.
Thank you, Alec.
Alec Lace has interviewed more than 700 dads on his award-winning podcast, First Class Fatherhood. Dads from all walks of life, including Tom Brady, Deion Sanders, Matthew McConaughey, Steve Harvey, Tony Hawk, Eric Trump, and so many more. Find out why First Class Fatherhood has been number one on the iTunes charts. Who these men are as fathers and how they raise their children is far more important than anything they accomplish in their careers. Alec Lace encourages his high-profile guests to share their fatherhood journeys and offer advice to new and soon-to-be dads. Let every father in your contact list know about First Class Fatherhood. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Every day is Father's Day on First Class Fatherhood.